This is Ashley Wagner.
Hi, everybody. It's Johnny Weir.
This is Caitlin Oz.
Hi, I'm Patrick Chan.
Hey, guys. This is Adam Rippon.
I'm Maya Shibutani.
And I'm Alex Shibutani.
And you're listening to Ice Talk.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Jackie Wong of rockerskating.com, bringing you Cool Kids episode 14 of Ice Talk.
Before we start this episode of Ice Talk, there's been some news that took place after my chat with Michael Weiss. Reigning U.S. champion Adam Rippon, who we talk about in our Nationals preview, unfortunately had to withdraw from next week's Nationals because he fractured a bone in his left foot. Reigning U.S. silver medalist Paulina Edmonds also announced her withdrawal. She's still recovering from the bone bruise in her right foot that has taken her out of competition since last year's Nationals.
Figure skating social media is really starting to buzz now because we're literally a few days away from the start of both U.S. Nationals and Canadian Nationals. Last week, we had Kurt Browning on to preview Canadians. And this week, we'll have three-time U.S. champ Michael Weiss with us for part one of a two-part preview of U.S. Nationals. Later on, I'll be chatting with Max Aaron, the 2013 U.S. champion, as he prepares for U.S. Nationals, which will take place in Kansas City, January 14th through the 22nd. But first, Michael Weiss is with me to break down the competition. Michael, welcome to Ice Talk.
Thank you for having me.
How were your holidays? I imagine there'd be a whole lot of family fun time for you.
Yeah, actually, we did. We had actually, my wife Lisa and I are kind of surprisingly empty nesters this season. My daughter's off to college in her first year in school, and my son's off away in Pennsylvania playing hockey. So we found ourselves home by ourselves a lot during the school year. So the holidays were awesome. We had both kids home again and some family in from out of town, and I'm actually lucky that I have my side of the family and my wife's side of the family. Immediate families are right in the Washington, D.C. area, so we were able to spend some great quality time together this holiday.
Very cool. So as empty nesters, do you get to do a lot more skating these days?
Not really. Not a whole lot more skating, but we do find that our evenings and afternoons are a lot more open than they used to be. We used to run in kids all over from activity to activity. That now we have our evenings, to cook dinner and actually spend some time together and realize that we actually do enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, to be back in college again. but before we jump into looking at this year's U.S. Nationals, I wanted to hear from your experience as a skater and now as a commentator, how do you think men's skating has really changed in the last 20 years?
Well, it's actually gone through an interesting transition. Back in my day when I was competing, there was very much a turn toward quadruple jumps, and it was Todd Eldridge and myself were, really challenging ourselves to do those, and Elvis Stoiko was landing them, and Ilya Kulik landed at the Olympics in 98, and that was very much the direction that the sport was going, was who was going to be doing more quads. And then with the integration of the judging system, everybody started to back away from those quads and not take that amount of risk and really go for a clean, precise, well-executed triple jump program, as Evan Lysacek did to win his gold medal. And it started to go in that direction. And now we see a transition back to the skaters can now do the quadruple jumps with as much ease as we were doing triples. And the direction that it's going is really mind-boggling, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The fact that Yuzuru Hanyu and Nathan Chen can do, and even Boyang Jin, can do the quadruple jumps with as much ease as they can as to not sacrifice the artistic side of the sport. I mean, normally it was kind of like, okay, what do I do? I can't quite do both of them, so I have to lean more heavily towards either the quads or lean more heavily towards the execution and artistic side of the program. And now somebody like Yuzuru Hanyu and Javier Fernandez, and they can do both, and it's pretty amazing. And their ability to not only do the quadruple jumps, but integrate them into their artistic side of skating and do them with so much ease. I've always thought I would see a quad lutz or a quad flip and a quad loop, but never all together and never integrated into a program that has such balance with the artistic side and detail to focus on the detail of all the elements, spins, and the overall package of the program. I never thought I would see the balance and ease at which they do them.
Well, you did see a quad lutz. You were doing them back in the late 90s there, so.
Right, and that's what I mean. I mean, I know that they could be done, but
but
gosh, I mean, the fact that when Nathan Chen opens with a quad lutz and then a quad flip, and then a quad toe, and then another quad toe, and just they just look too easy. They
right.
look as easy, like when his quad flip looks as easy and effortless to him as a triple flip did for me.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like I landed quad flips, but it took any and everything that I had to land one in practice, and everything had to be perfect. Everything had to be right. And with him, it just looks like it's a quad flip, but it's just as easy as a triple flip for me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you bring up an interesting point of, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was this trajectory toward, you know, doing more quads in the programs. And then all of a sudden with the judging system coming in and the incentives kind of changing with the point system, the focus went back to the triples. And then the focus also went to the actual basic skating of these skaters. And all of a sudden
right.
when you got somebody who could combine both and the incentives changed, like when Patrick Chan was basically blowing everybody away because he had two really consistent quads in his free skate, two quad toes, and he could, you know, skate like Patrick Chan. You suddenly all of a sudden needed to do both, and
right.
everything's kind of caught up to now. We're getting to this era where you've got really difficult programs that are also really interestingly composed programs. So it's quite a time in men's figure skating.
And it is leaning so much more towards the technical side now. And John Coughlin brought up this point last year, and I think it's a good point, is that, you know, 100 points used to be considered perfect
yep.
or artistic and technical. Well, now people are going over 100 points easily technically because nobody really anticipated the ease at which they could do these jumps.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can gain, you know, let's say half of your score is artistic, half of it is technical. Well, now the maximum you can get artistically is 100 points.
Right.
And you can go over that technically. So it's leaning more toward the technical side of the sport. And, you know, you brought up a good point, too, is really the grade of execution, how they execute these jumps. People used to have to weigh that and be like, well, you know, I may eke out a quad, but I might not execute it that well, so maybe I should just do a triple and execute it perfectly. It's worth more points. Well, now people are executing quads with so much ease that
right.
the grade of execution is through the roof as well, and that's
yeah.
why, you know, you're seeing these huge score totals.
Yeah, when you have a cap, really, in the components and you don't have a cap in technical, that's where the imbalance comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's almost like having a salary cap in football. You need a point cap, is what we have in skating.
Yeah, exactly. You gave a little bit of a preview of Nathan Chen there. For the men's event in Kansas City, there really are four main contenders for the title, right? Three of whom have won the national title in the past. We've got Adam Rippon, last year's champ. We've got Jason Brown. We've got Max Aaron, and then also Nathan Chen, who's coming in just completely red hot here. Help us
right.
break down the competition. Where is your mind drawn to going into nationals?
Well, I think almost like any sport, it's kind of what have you done most recently, and that's what people are going to be talking about the most.
Yep.
And it really has to be Nathan Chen, just with the way that he performed at the Grand Prix final, and really throughout the season, just his taking it to a whole nother level. I mean, I thought, you know, last year and the year before on the Grand Prix circuit with Bo Yang Jin taking it to a new level with his quad lutz triple toe
yeah.
and his quad toe late in the short program and just doing those that easily, I was like, oh, well, he's obviously on a level of all his own. And Yuzuru Hanyu was just doing, you know, the quad toe and the quad sow at that point. And now I thought, okay, that's the new bar was what Bo Yang Jin was doing. And now Nathan Chen comes out this year and, yes, he did at the national championships last year. He did do, you know, the four quads, but he was able to do, you know, two toes, two sows.
Mm-hmm.
Now he just came out, and you're like, where the heck
yeah.
did this stuff come from? A flip and a lutz? It's like maybe you get one
after
over
surgery.
The year, but,
after
but
surgery,
both of them, and with extreme consistency.
Yeah.
You know, you usually don't get them that consistently that quickly, and he just did. Like, oh, I'm going to try one. Oh, okay, now I got it. I got that one figured out. So the talk is about him, and it was always whether his component marks and his artistic side of the sport were they as competitive as his technical side. And in my opinion, in watching his performance, judges are still undermarking him, I think, in my opinion. I really like his free skate. I think it suits his style and his personality well. I think it emphasizes the things that he does well. I think it emphasizes those things. It makes him skate more, draw a little bit more emotion out of his personality, because he is, I mean, people, I think probably the biggest criticism of him would be that he's a little stoic in his performance.
Right.
And I think he utilizes this program well and doesn't focus too much on the jumps and kind of, you know, is more of an artistic side than we saw from him in years past.
And yeah.
So I think, in my opinion, he's kind of the one to beat right now. And I think the other skaters are thinking that as well. I mean, I haven't spoken to them personally, and they're going to ever admit that he's the one to beat. Everybody thinks they're the one to beat.
Right.
But in my opinion, I think they know that to compete with him technically, they have to skate absolutely flawlessly and beat him on the artistic side.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the point you brought up about Nathan Chen and earlier about Bo-Yang Jin is that there's been a lot of comparison between those two, between Nathan and Bo-Yang, just because they all of a sudden came out with quad Lutzes and with Nathan Chen with a quad flip this year too. I really don't see, in terms of components, the similarities between Bo-Yang Jin last year and Nathan Chen this year. I feel like you know, looking at the programs, looking at the way that they're done, they're executed, Nathan's on a different level than Bo-Yang was last year.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, with Bo-Yang skating, it was more like you were waiting for the next jump.
Yeah.
And now with Nathan Chen, he's always been a great skater.
Yeah.
He just focused very much on his technical side. And I said that originally when he came out with the quads. Everybody's like, yeah, but where are his skating skills? Where's the program? And I go, look, he'll get there. I go, he's way too smart of a kid to not get there. And he's way too competitive to not get there. But what he did was he built a foundation on his technical jumps. And he focused on those for a year. And he said, I'm going to get the quad flip, the quad lutz, the quad toe, and the quad sal. That's my foundation for my skating, you know, my house. You know, I'm building the concrete, building the foundation. And then, on top of that, now I'm adding all the finish work. I'm adding the granite countertops and the stainless steel appliances. Those are the, you know, to make a comparison to building things, that's what he's now doing with his skating and focusing back more on the artistic side, his knees, his edges, his focus to detail. And I think it's a very smart way to do it. You need to have the artillery. You need to have the jumps in order to be competitive. And then on top of that, then you start to sprinkle on and you work on the artistic side. And that's what Nathan has done with his skating that I don't think Bo-Yang Jin has done as much as Nathan had, and certainly was not as good a foundation artistically, I think, as Nathan does.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and I think we also just realized that you've spent a lot of your empty nest time watching HGTV.
I know that's exactly where you were going with that. Yeah, I'm building houses lately, so that's my reference.
It's interesting that you mentioned Bo-Yang Jin earlier. I'm not going to talk about him too much here, but because we're talking about U.S. Nationals. But giving credit where credit's due, he has made some strides this year on his component side. But I do agree with you, the foundation is not as strong as what Nathan Chen came in with his foundation. So that's a comparison that is definitely going to be made, but I think it's a comparison that people really need to look at a little bit more deeply and really understand what exactly they're talking about before they kind of compare two people who have really, really good jumps, but very different skating components.
Yes.
Another point I wanted to touch on that you mentioned earlier was, you know, it's kind of the momentum factor, right? The first half of the season was really interesting because you had Jason and Adam kind of sprinting out of the gates early on at Skate America, and then Adam had his career best performance at Trophy de France. And then the last competition that both of them, each of them was in, was a bit subpar, right? Whereas Max Aaron and Nathan Chen had sort of a decent start. Nathan kind of, in a lot of ways, getting those jumps out there, but not really skating really terrifically clean programs, but then built it up as the Grand Prix series started rolling along. So wanted to get your thoughts on where you think Jason and Adam's heads are right now.
I think, you know, Jason Brown, I think it's Skate America, you know, very much impressed me. He always seems to be one of those guys that you just, me specifically, I forget how much I enjoy his performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I like him. I know I like his skating. But I always forget how much I actually do enjoy him. And his free skate at Skate America was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, to hit the quad for the first time for him and to integrate that into his program, you realize how awesome he can be. And for me, he's one of those guys that just captures the audience right from the start of the music. And you want to watch every move he makes. And it's enjoyable, but it's a different type of enjoyment as far as watching skating. It's like every movement, you know, like, oh gosh, that's so hard. Oh, every stretch, every spin that he does, every position he hits, you're kind of like, oh gosh, that's so cool. Oh, that's cool too. Oh, that's pretty neat.
Right.
You know, it's like you're watching all those elements as opposed to just waiting for the quad to come. But you know, his biggest downfall is that in order to compete with the top in the world, with Boyang Jin and Javier Fernandez, and even now Nathan Chen, you have to have a foundation, and that means not just one quad, it means two, it means three.
Yeah.
And if he had more quads, he would be unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because his programs are that detail-oriented and focused.
He does have the quad toe that he's been putting in. He does, I believe, have a quad sow that he's been, he trains, and he's been training for a couple
right.
of years. But it's always with him, the, like, getting it out in competition and actually getting it landed for the first time, that was such a hurdle, and
right.
it took so long that I think, you know, you thought that after he landed that one in Skate America, you know, under-rotated or not, I really didn't think it really should have been called under-rotated, but
right.
after he landed that one, that the confidence would have built, but then, you know, at NHK, it wasn't quite there.
And that's generally the progression of quads. You know, I talked to her earlier about how it was when Nathan got his quad, it was like, oh, yeah, I got it. All right, I got that one figured out. I'll just do that all the time now. And that's not generally the progression of a quad. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, you hit one, then, you know, it digresses a little bit. And it's not quite as consistent. You start changing things a little bit. And that's kind of the, you know, when I see Jason's quad deal in practice, it's like that. It's like a hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, you know, certainly not something that he's really comfortable with doing. So, you know, landing one is a challenge. Landing two or three in a program would be all the more challenging
right.
for him.
Right.
But he has all the, you know, he has all the components. He has all the elements that can make him, you know, one of the top skaters in the world, you know, potentially on the podium at Worlds, but he's got to step it up technically in order to do that, and he struggles with the consistency of those quads.
Yeah.
And I think Adam is in almost the exact same boat, I think, as Jason, performance side of skating and not necessarily the quadruple side of skating. But
yeah.
if that's the direction that skating is going, it's going to be difficult to keep up with it, you know? So
yeah.
I think their mindset going into Nationals is like I said, they can't make a mistake. They have to hit a quad in the short, they have to hit the quad in the long, and they have to not make any mistakes in order to be competitive with the amount of point totals that Nathan will be putting up in the short and long program. And I know that's not necessarily Adam's approach or even Jason's approach.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they decide to do the triple-triple in the short program, but they may be too far behind at that point if that is their approach.
Yeah. I mean, I think between Jason and Adam, I do believe they have two of the most complete programs of in men's
right.
skating right now. I do. It is the short program does do a lot to kind of, in a lot of ways, dig a hole right for them. With Jason, he's been putting the quad toe in his short and not having terribly much success with it so far. With Adam, he hasn't put the quad toe in the short or any quads in the short yet. But we'll see if that changes here, because I
think you make a good point too, like digging yourself a hole in the short program. They're not necessarily the types of skaters that can dig themselves out of a hole.
Right, exactly.
You know, somebody like even Boyang Jin or Nathan or Javier Fernandez, let's say they're behind in the short program and they miss an element. And even Nathan did this at the Grand Prix final, where he could skate his way out of it because he had so much content in the free skate.
Yeah.
And Adam and Jason aren't necessarily that type of skater where they're come from behind skaters. I mean, they have to be within a certain striking distance after the short program to still to be competitive. And that's even more on a world level. I mean, they'll always be within striking distance at nationals because there's just not as much depth other than the top four or five skaters.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll always have a chance at the free skate. But, you know, when you're talking about winning world medals, you know, you're now, you make a mistake in the short program or you do a triple-triple and seven other guys do quads and are ahead of you, you know, being down in seventh, eighth place is a lot different than being in second or third at nationals.
Right. And I think here, you know, the stakes at U.S. Nationals is a little bit different in the sense that everybody is looking for those two world spots this year. So, you know,
right.
it might not be the three world medals, but it's two world spots as opposed to three world spots last year. So I think
right.
it puts a very different lens on how what the strategy is going to be for the Jasons and the Adams of the world with their quads going in. We do know that Adam had said earlier in the season that he was working on adding a second quad in the free skate or adding a quad in the short program. So we'll have to see where that is right now and how consistent that toe and or that Lutz are right now.
Right. I mean, ideally that would be awesome. Open with the quad Lutz and then have the quad toe right after. And his triple axles, which used to be so troubling for Adam, are
yeah.
now, you know, jumps that he can pretty much rely on.
Exactly.
They're money in the bank. So
yeah.
if he could put those two elements in, that would be that'd be dangerous.
Yeah. Very, very much so. Not to discount at all Max Aaron coming in. I think he's coming in a bit of a dark horse because there's been a lot of talk of Jason and Adam and Nathan coming in. But Max, you know, he's got the quads. He's got a new short program. He's been working on the components. You know, I think it's last year we saw him skate really well at Nationals and get the silver. This year it's been kind of touch and go for the first few months of the season, and then I think Cup of China he came back and skated a really strong free skate. So where do you see Max coming in and figuring in the picture?
Yeah, I think Max Aaron is playing the role and in the position that he's always been in, which is he's the skater that is going to go out and if anybody slips up or makes a mistake, he's going to skate a solid program. Not necessarily great, could skate great, but his ceiling is high and his floor isn't very low. Like, his variable is not very much. You know,
mm-hmm.
he'll hit one quad or two. You know, it's not like he's going to go out and make multiple mistakes and you know, drop, you know, seven spots. He's a guy who is like, if Adam doesn't skate well or if Jason doesn't skate well, he's going to skate a good, clean, short program. And he's going to position himself in the free skate, and he's going to do the same thing in the free skate.
Yeah.
He's going to do a quad or two and two triple axles. And I think that's, you're saying he's kind of played the dark horse. That's kind of the role he always plays. You know, he's very comfortable at going out and skating two quads in the long, maybe one in the short program, but the component marks are still going to be what holds him back from competing against Adam or Jason,
yeah.
or even in this case now Nathan. But I think Max is comfortable in that role. And another point that you made, you know, only being two spots for the men on the U.S. team, there's going to be two guys sitting at home that are very much qualified to compete at the World Championships.
Absolutely.
And potentially, you know, be in the top five or six, let alone, you know, at the national championship. So we only have two spots for the United States and two guys who are very capable of being, I think all of them,
yeah.
could possibly be in the top five at the World Championships.
Right.
And they're going to be, two of them are going to be sitting at home watching. And, you know, that's unfortunately the state of U.S. men's figure skating right now is only earning those two spots. But we have some competitors that can do a lot of damage at the World Championships, and Max is one of those. But, you know, I as we'd mentioned earlier, the Max is limited. Really, his downfall is going to be his component mark. He's not at the level of Adam Rippon or Jason Brown and even Nathan Chen at this point. So he's just hoping that, you know, guys make a few mistakes and he goes in there, hits his two quads, hits a clean short program, and he gets, so exactly what happened last year, actually. What happened at the national championship last year that got him the silver medal.
Right, yeah.
They did two good programs and got in there.
I'm especially intrigued to see what this new short program is going to look like. I think the interesting thing about Max the last year is, you know, he had a good bit of a breakthrough with the Black Swan program, but then he kind of stuck with the Nessun Dorma short. And I think there's something to be said about him skating something that is more dynamic than Nessun Dorma, and I think possibly going into this, I think it's a Spanish kind of bullfighting theme short program. I think it's going to be potentially a plus for him, and it might, you know, really play to his strengths as opposed to doing something that's a little bit more dramatic and lyrical that I don't know if it's necessarily playing to his strengths. So we'll have to see. That that short program could be an X factor there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think playing more of a character program, like that Spanish piece for a short program, it probably suits him better.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like you were saying, a character role may be a little bit better for him to interpret as opposed to a piece of music that is very emotional and powerful like that.
Yeah.
That's a big piece of music to try and carry. You know, somebody like Brian Boitano, when he skated to it, his power and his speed and his attention to detail and his spread eagles and his skating skills were able to carry that. And with Max, sometimes you get the feeling that there's sometimes, you know, like it's a jump drill.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what holds him back from being, from getting the component marks that Adam and Jason are getting.
Right. Well, so we talked about these four guys, but of course this competition has a whole lot more skaters than that. So we can't forget about Grant Hochstein, last year's pewter medalist, Ross Miner, who's medaled at nationals before, Tim Delensky, Vincent Zhao. Which of these guys do you find are going to be flying under the radar and that you're going to be watching for?
It's going to be tough for any one of those to actually get on the world team.
Yeah.
But as far as getting on the podium or at least setting themselves up for the following year, I like Vincent Zhao. I liked him last year. I thought he skated well last year. You know, he was dealing with some injuries at the national championships last year and fought through them. And, you know, some of the stuff that I've seen him practice, you know, doing the quad flip and the quad lutz, I mean, his mindset and his, I don't know, I guess strive to be the best.
Yeah.
He has that personality that Nathan has.
Where right.
It's like all these other guys are doing quad flips and quad lutzes, and that's where I want to be, so I know that's what I have to do.
He is just a fantastically... fantastically talented jumper. He had those injuries back in a couple years ago, and then all of a sudden he came back with a triple axel and two quads, and just like,
yeah.
Where did those come from?
And
he's basically landed every single quad. I haven't seen a loop from him, but he's basically landed every single quad except the loop and the axel. I'm interested to see what he puts into his programs. I know you can do these things in practice, right? But he's never put anything. I don't think he's put the quad lutz out yet. I might be wrong, but
I don't think he has. But he's one of those two where he seems like a Nathan or even like Bo Yang Jin, where when they get it, they got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, we talked a little bit about Adam where it's like he got it, but then it kind of digresses, or with Jason. It seems like the both of them and their jumping technique are, if they get something, they seem like they have it. And I think his challenge is probably going to be maybe downgrade. They're not getting full rotation on the landing. I think will probably play a factor at nationals. But he has he's just got that something in him that I see that is like, I don't want to just be good. I want to be better than everybody else.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I just kind of get that sense from him.
Yeah.
As far as the way that he practices and trains. And I think, you know, like that, like you said, that year of injuries and, you know, was a setback. So I think he's a year or two behind, where Nathan was.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be quite a show, I think, with the men and I think there are a lot of people there's some people who like to not give the U.S. men as much credit as they should get. And I think it'll be interesting really to see those four top guys and this kind of slate of under the radar folks who are, I think, are going to put together a good show for the fans.
Yeah, I think the men's event will actually, I'm really looking forward to this season, probably more so than years past, just because, like you said, all those names, Tim Zielinski, Rand Hochstein, all those guys are good skaters. Like, they're really good performers too. So it's not just, you know, how many quads can I see? There's good skaters way down at 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th that are performances that people from Kansas City are gonna be privileged to see. They're great performers and great skaters, and it's going to be an exciting week.
Very much. You're going to be there with Ice Network once again?
Yep, I'll be there with the Ice Network, doing the ice desk with Kenneth and Charlie and John Coughlin. I'm sure the skaters will provide us with the drama that they always give us. Every time we try and predict what Nationals is going to be like, there's something different. Yeah. And that's why I think we love figure skating, because it is completely unpredictable. Yeah. And that's the only thing that's predictable, is that it's unpredictable.
I've done enough predictions in my lifetime to know that there's just no way to figure out who's gonna do what. Well, thanks for your time, Michael Weiss. We will be hearing from you more and seeing more of you in Kansas City, and hopefully you and I will finally touch base over there.
Absolutely. Great, Jackie. Thank you very much.
And now we've got 2013 champ and current U.S. silver medalist Max Aaron on the phone. Happy January, Max. You're in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, I'm in Colorado Springs right now, and it's a bit windy today. We have record gust right now, I believe. I think we had 100-mile-an-hour winds today, so it was quite interesting today. But good training day, though.
Yeah, the weather's been kind of crazy, kind of everywhere. There was a bit of a snowstorm in New York over the weekend. A little crazy going into Nationals.
Yeah, nothing new.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Nationals, how's preparation for Nationals coming along?
Yeah, it's going well. I really love this event. Every year I look forward to the U.S. Championships. That is like the cream of the crop, and I just can't wait to get back there. So training's going pretty well. Obviously I got a new short program, so I've been training that very, really diligently, and I'm enjoying the process right now, and I just can't wait. You know, I got the jitters going on right now, but it's going to be fun stepping out there, though, in Kansas City.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fans are excited about the new short program. There have been a lot of tweets to Ice Talk about that coming in anticipation of this interview. We'll get back to your short program a little later. We'd love to talk about a little bit, what your downtime is like. Is this kind of full training going on right now? Do you actually get any sort of breaks between now and Kansas City?
So I'm not really much of a huge break kind of person. Yeah. If anything, we just taper here and there, or, we count a lot of the reps on jumps. So if anything, you know, there's days where, you know, there's a, an eight quad day. So, you know, I'll try eight quads, whether I rotate them or pop them or land them, eight tries. That's all you get. And, working on that. And then some days, you know, you get 15 tries. So obviously when every time you get a try, you're going to have to be able to do it. So, you know, anything like, you know, it's like the closest I get to maybe a day off or a light day at this point in the season. But, I'm out of school right now, so it's nice to have a little break. You know, this is my first break in a long time. I always take the pre-term. So there's no pre-term for business school right now this winter. So, I have to take school off. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about, I was going to ask you about balancing skating in school. How have you been able to do that?
Yeah. So, you know, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy school. You know, obviously I really enjoy skating, but I love the progression of schooling, and I think it's such an important thing. And I know it's really important with my family members, and especially my parents. And so, you know, growing up in public, in high school, you know, there was never a time where I was going to be homeschooled. So I always wanted to go to public school, and, I learned how to deal with training at a young age and going to school, high school. And then, you know, the same thing, I did take a year and a half off. So 3 semesters of college, being out here in Colorado Springs. And then I decided, you know, I got to be in school full time. I can't, you know, that's when I was working. You know, I decided it was either I get a job or go to school. So I got the job, and I wanted some extra spending money. And I realized, you know, I need to get my degree. So I flipped things around and then, you know, started going to school. But, you know, basically, you know, you just take, you know, a morning class, I train all day, and I take a night class. And I do that 3 times a week. So it's not so bad. And I, you know, I get, you know, a lot of help by going for, you know, the math lab or, you know, any tutors that I can, you know, get a hold of. You know, I get as much help as I can. So I'm almost done with school. Hopefully graduate in May. So we'll see.
Nice. Yeah. Always very in awe of people who can balance college and world-class skating. I could barely balance college and non-world-class skating. So it's pretty crazy. We'll switch topics a little bit. We saw your coach, Tom Sagrajcek, post a video of you doing a quad axel on a harness maybe a few weeks ago or a couple months ago. That's got to be a bit crazy to even think about attempting.
Yeah. You know, it started 2 years ago where, you know, after I took fourth at in Greensboro, North Carolina, you know, I wasn't on the world team or the four continents team, so I had a lot of time on my hands. So, you know, I was like curious. I'm like, you know what, you know, these quads are happening. And I was like, why don't I try a quad axle? Like, you know, and I started working the technique for the quad axle. And I was like, you know what, I got some hang time. I'm like, maybe I could actually do this. So I did a few and on the harness, and I could do it on the harness. And I was just thinking, like, this could be possible. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the season was going to start, and I'm like, I should probably focus on other things and rather than trying on a Hail Mary throw. So I decided, you know, not too long ago, I'm like, you know what, I'll try again. You know, now that everyone literally is doing every quad except the quad axle, I'm like, why don't I be the first quad axle ever? I'm like, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So again, I, you know, throw it out there again. I tried it on the harness again a few times, and, you know, just thinking at it, you just need so much hang time in that jump. It's just unbelievable that, it's just, I can't explain it. I feel like you're in the air for so long and all of a sudden you come crashing down.
Yeah.
But you know, it's quite a rush. So I really enjoy trying it.
That's very cool. And obviously you were just mentioning there's been oodles and oodles of talk about quads in the last few years. And especially, this year where, you know, we actually have 5 of the 6 quads being tried at multiple competitions. But I do know that you've been working a lot on your components and getting really much more absorbed in the music that you're skating to. I wanted to hear a little bit more from you about this whole journey of getting stronger choreography and really getting into the music. What's been the process like there? And some fans want to know, did it start from the haircut in 2015?
I like the hair, I must say. I like the long hair. That was like the hockey look. I was skating to the gladiators. Come on, they can't diss it that much. I enjoyed that hair. I can see how it could be distracting and maybe it was ugly. I don't know. But I enjoyed it. All my haircuts are always kind of weird. But you know, going back, I guess, to 2016, and I chose the Black Swan to step out in that way. And Philip Mills really helped me with that. And I really enjoy ballet. I, you know, my younger sister was in the Nutcracker every year. Mm. I grew up watching the Nutcracker, you know, 4, 5, 6 times, you know, every December. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I wanted the Black Swan. You know, I feel like I've studied so much ballet. You know, maybe I'm not the most graceful person, but I'm going to learn it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take the time to do that. And so, you know, basically every morning before I got on the ice, I would go in the ballet room and watch my movements over and over again, trying to perfect it. And then, you know, I would go off the ice after the end of the day, and I would listen to the music over and over again and feel the movement and, you know, kind of imagine it. And then obviously on the ice, we started off with not jumping or spinning. We would just do straight movements, ballet movements. And then, you know, starting to put the program piece by piece together. And, you know, I can't say it was perfect, or maybe I didn't look like the most artistic person out there, or maybe I didn't even look like the Black Swan, but, you know, I really enjoyed that process. It's always tough when people say that's not me, but I grew up around ballet, you know, watching the ballet. So, you know, that is basically me. But maybe, you know, my movements are more geared towards quick, sharp movements, you know, like I said, my hockey background. But, you know, I grew up around the ballet. But yeah, so that's basically been my journey, and I took it into this season trying to progress upon my artistic movements And, you know, it's never going to be an easy thing for me, but I do enjoy it. I do put the time and work and effort in. And hopefully, you know, slowly, slowly people start to notice it, that it will pay off. I just hope they're as patient as I am, waiting for the day that I could really feel the entire piece of music throughout the entire program, not just bits and pieces where, you know, I sometimes feel like I come in and out of the program, and yeah. I'm really working hard on keeping that, you know, everyone engaged throughout the entire 440 or the entire 250. And I realize, like, you know, I have not done that yet. And obviously my components, you know, show that I'm not doing that. And, you know, I love the challenge of trying to bring that up and trying to keep everyone captivated for those 2 minutes, 50 seconds or 440, like I said. So hopefully, you know, I can do that by the end of my career.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. I really do think the Black Swan program in particular was quite the breakthrough last season for you. And it, you know, it showed, right? The win at Skate America was a big one for you. Is it the Black Swan program that's been the one that you feel like has been most fulfilling to you? Or was there another one that's more memorable for you?
You know, obviously, I always go back to my West Side Story program. Mm. You know, I was more of like a gangster out there on the ice, and you know, I was just trying to be some tough guy.
Yeah.
And that's basically my hockey background. So I guess that one's very memorable in that sense, and I was able to do it, you know, at the U.S. Championships and come away with the title. But
yeah.
You know, the program that I really enjoyed the entire year of doing the Black Swan. Mm-hmm. I just loved, you know, the way it sounded, the way it built upon itself. It was just a piece of music that I never got old. You know, if I were me, I would have kept it, but. You know, no one, you know, obviously everyone wanted to change the program, but I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that somebody would have gone back to an old program that they loved for the Olympic season, so you never know, right?
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. But we do know that you just worked with Philip Mills on your new short program, and we're going to see that debuted in Kansas City. A lot of our listeners tweeted to us about that. So what can you tell us about this new program?
So basically, this program is going to hopefully be very intense, in your face, really captivate you for those 2 minutes, 50 seconds. When I'm doing this program right now, I am just going to watch my language here. I'm all out. I'm going all out for the 2 minutes, 50 seconds. I'm careful there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really just, you know, showing that side of me, that fast, sharp, quick side of me. You know, I'm playing the bullfighter. It's going to be interesting. And this is something that I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard a lot of great compliments of it in practice so far. And, you know, I really hope it, you know, comes together in time and I can really show this piece of music and this program off, the way, you know, Philip intended that. It was choreographed. So hopefully I'll keep you guys' attention for the entire 2 minutes, 50 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, last year you had Nessun Dorma and you had Black Swan. You know, Nessun Dorma is very much a powerful kind of emotional feel kind of program. And then Black Swan, there's kind of this classical element and this intensity element. I think this one is certainly a departure from those two programs, and you know, you were talking about kind of your love for sharp movements and this kind of intensity. I think that this could be a really good one for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it can go somewhere. I really want to get the crowd involved from the beginning. So it starts off with a big bang, a lot of head movements, you know, a lot of sharp movements, and get people involved quickly. Obviously before the first quad, and hopefully it takes off from there. But I love the footwork piece. It's a really unique piece that Philip's choreographed. You know, hopefully it's choreographed well. But by the time I get to the other side of the boards, that, you know, hopefully everyone's standing up, cheering, and I can imagine it in my brain. You know, when I visualize this program, so hopefully it takes off.
Very exciting! I can't wait to see it. Any hints on costumes for this program?
So my original idea kind of backfired. I guess, long story short, a lot of miscommunication, unfortunately. So I had to go with the simpler route. Hopefully, you know, hopefully I can make another team after the U.S. Championships, and I can change the costume to something more that I really wanted.
Yeah.
And with the special unique piece, I don't want to tell you yet because I don't want to give it away just in case I can do it later on.
No spoilers.
It's a really sketchy move that I'm going to do. So, but for the U.S. Championships, we just went with simple, get it done quickly so I can practice in it. The other way was going to take a lot longer. And like I said, it just didn't come together the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And now having more time, hopefully after the U.S. Championships, hopefully making, like I said, another team, I can have the time to, you know, make something else. But hopefully I'll have something, you know, that everyone will approve upon, which everyone seems to dislike the costumes I have, but like I said, it doesn't bother me.
I don't know about that.
Everyone can make fun of them. It's okay, you know. I that's why the whole reason why I don't like to have someone design a costume for me is because, you know, a lot of people say a lot of negative things, and you know, it hurts the person's feelings that makes the costume, and I feel terrible. You know that, you know, they read a lot of the comments or something gets tweeted at me that, you know, the person that designed it, you know, was like, wow, that was really hurtful. And I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, maybe it was just me. Maybe it doesn't look good on me. Maybe it's just my body shape. So, you know, so I've been, you know, a couple of years ago, I was like, you know what, I'll design it. And if no one likes it, then that's it. I mean, you can tell me, you know, I got tough skin. So, you know, you don't have to like it. You know, you don't have to like me if you don't want to, you know. So, you know, I'll take it for what it is, and you know, hopefully, you know, hearing everyone tweets, you know, that, not that I go on Twitter a whole lot, but you know, try to make everyone happy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I think maybe we need an addition of mean tweets for figure skating here.
You know, I keep thinking of that. I think that would be hilarious, but at the same time, that's the one thing that social media drives me crazy, is that, you know, everyone is free to say whatever they want,
yeah,
right? Which is great, freedom of speech. I think that's great. No, we just had a class about that, and I think it's so great that we have that. At the same time, a lot of things, you know, even if you don't tweet at someone, someone's going to retweet it or tag you in it. But anyway, you end up seeing it that you didn't want to see it, and you're just like, man, that was not very nice.
Yeah.
And there's no repercussions for it. So I was like, man, I don't know why people just can't keep their comments to themselves, even if they, you know, it's negative. If it's positive, great. You know, it only helps everyone out. But if it's negative, it's not very friendly.
Man, all the mean tweets I've tweeted about you. So sorry.
I knew it was you. All those fake accounts. Oh, gosh.
Exactly.
Wait until I see you next time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so switching gears a little bit more, on the free skate side, you've got your Lion King program this year that you debuted earlier in the season, and it's undergone a few different iterations during the season. So love to hear from you about what brought about those changes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously, you know, throughout the season, the jump boxes have been changing, been trying different elements at different times. Mm. And, you know, I'm basically just trying to feel out, you know, what jump will be better at, you know, what point in the program. And, you know, I feel like the jump boxes I have right now are pretty, pretty solid, but also at the same point, musically, some of the cuts I had, I guess you could say, didn't flow well together. So, you know, we took the time to, you know, find these different, mashups from the Lion King and, you know, trying to make I guess a better whole, you know, than instead of having, you know, pieces of the program, you know, mashed together. But I think it sounds great at this point. You know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, debuting this program again, you know, getting that, you know, my second costume out there too. You know, definitely have a costume change. I really love this costume a lot more than the other costume.
Yeah, the one that you had at Cup of China?
Yep, the same one at the Cup of China.
Yeah.
That one, yeah, I actually got that costume the day I left the event. So luckily, I was very lucky. I came in, I picked it up, went to the airport.
Good timing.
I guess I could say I tried it on when I got there and worked on the warm-up. So I was like, this is going to work in the event. So keeping that costume, and you know, I really like it. You know, keeping it very simple. I'm a very simple person, straight to the point. Obviously, you can see the line on it.
Yeah,
but it's very neat.
You also had a great skate at Cup of China with that costume. So hopefully, that's going to continue at Nationals. I know also, you know, the Lion King has been used a lot in exhibitions, not so much in competition form. I think Denny and Fraser used it a couple of years ago, but we haven't seen that much of the Lion King in competition. So it was that a choice, stylistic choice that you made to use that music for your program?
Yeah, so, you know, I remember watching Brandon and Haven do this program a few years ago. You know, it kind of sparked my mind, you know, when I was trying to pick music out, and I was like, you know what, I want something that's different and that can be something kind of unique. Yeah. I'm like, this Lion King program could be some different that everyone can remember, and everyone relates to the Lion King. I'm sure everyone has seen it sometime
right.
or another. And I was like, you know what, this is the program I want to do, and I want to see it through. And I remember working with Philip. We started off the ice, you know, we started doing walkthroughs, and then we take it to the ice, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is the program I want for my lawn. Let's see it through. And we made a long of it, and I'm like, you know what, I love this program. Mm. Let's run with it. So, you know, and now it's history. So now we're doing it.
anyone throw big lion stuffed animals on the ice for you yet?
No one's done that yet. But, and I mean, you never know. It's never too late.
Never too late, Kansas City.
Watch out.
Well, great talking to you, Max. Really looking forward to seeing the new short, and looking forward to seeing the iterations of the new iteration of the Lion King program. So great talking to you, and good luck at Nationals.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you, and I'll see you there.
See you there.
And that's it for part one of our 2017 U.S. Nationals preview. A big, huge thanks to Michael Weiss and to Max Aaron for being here with me this week. Next week, we'll have Tanith White back on Ice Talk to preview the ladies and ice dance. Leave us feedback about the podcast by tweeting me at RockerSkating or at Ice Network with the hashtag Ice Talk. You can find all episodes of Ice Talk archived on iTunes, or go to icenetwork.com and click on Fans. And of course, none of this could happen without Ice Talk producer Kate Sullivan and Ice Network editor Mickey Brown. From the Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan, I'm Jackie Wong. I'll be back next week for part two of our U.S. Nationals preview.